Cavs Director of New Media Sales, Mike Molesky, our first guest here tonight in studio with us. And we'd had you in, I think, just prior to the season last year, the XL season, a lot of great expectations heading into it. And I will say, this is a show where we put everything out on the table and our biases and everything like that. I am a lifelong Cavs fan, and I can't come at this, without acknowledging that. But, we'll get to all the different aspects here. The year itself was, in the end, unfulfilling on the court. And in as much as Game 5 against Boston was on my birthday, unfulfilling would be an understatement. But in terms of the growth of Cav Fanatic from then, through the course of the season, and I know that there had been a significant spike since then, but through the season itself, you had all the promotions going on, you had everything that was building during that point in time, all the excitement of Shaq being here. You had talked about that at the time, that because he's a very technologically advanced athlete with his own large Twitter following. What were some things during the course of the 2009-2010 season that led up to this?
Well, it's a great question. I'm glad you brought up a little bit about the expectations around last year. And certainly from a business standpoint, that's where I come from. Mm-hmm. I'm on the business side of our organization, and our expectations are very high. We want to be the best in every category amongst the 30 teams in the NBA. And certainly we want to be the best on the court too. But from my standpoint, we want to do everything well, and we want to be a championship organization at every level. And I think that our boss expects nothing else. I mean, and it's not like unlike any other line of work, Rick. I mean, you want to be the best talk show host. You want to be the best. Rush Limbaugh uses the example of wanting to be the best toilet seat salesperson. If that's what your job is, you want to be the best at it.
Yes.
And from us, our standpoint is, we want to be the best at everything we do. And so, as I look, every month last year about what we were doing online relative to revenue opportunities, relative to exposure for our corporate partners, and relative to the traffic we were creating and our mobile strategies, we were up there. It was very, very fulfilling 2009-10 season for us. Now, that being said, we want to be one in every category, including most wins. We want to win that last game of the playoffs, of course.
Exactly.
So, but you also asked about our social media and where we are. The summer of 2010 represented the largest growth period for us in social media that we've ever had. If you look at the time from June 1st until September 1st, we never had a larger growth period in social media. And that includes, lifting to, about 525,000 followers on Facebook, about 60,000 on Twitter, and our Cav Fanatics number 28,000. So now that is a scope of about 600,000 fans in our social network universe. And now it's our job to make sure that we connect with those fans on a very, very authentic level.
Well, that's great to hear, and it's a little bit counterintuitive. I'm actually encouraged as a fan myself to hear that. There was a sense that people would necessarily kind of go the fair weather route and start dropping away. It's good to hear that you've been able to consolidate in that area, and it's funny because I'd had a thought occur to me before you came on here, which is that I'm only being partially facetious when I say this, but when you look at all the employees that the organization had last year and this year, I would dare say you have skyrocketed past most of them and most on the court, quite frankly, based on what we've seen recently. But this is such an important thing. New media, social media was important last year, but particularly this year, filling the void of what's happened on the court thus far, it probably becomes even more so. I'm curious, as we got up around that July 1st point there, obviously, the organization had but one gear to go and but one approach to take. Nothing else would have been good enough for the fans at that point in time. You couldn't afford to have a plan B. Internally, on your side of operations here, was there a little bit of a sense that we go in this direction if we get the re-signing and in this direction that we can't think about this publicly, we can't let the basketball people think that we're thinking about this, but was there any kind of a plan B on your side?
Great question, Rick. And the answer is, it kind of comes back to the point somebody asked me the other day, what are you doing differently now than you might have done before? And the answer is nothing. When we were out as a corporate sales team selling the Cleveland Cavaliers and the reach and frequency that the impressions around that can provide a local or global business, We never went out and sold 66 wins. We never went out and sold 61 wins. Or we never went out and sold slam dunks that a certain player might have put up. We never went out and sold, you know, MVPs. We went out and we sold the audience. We sold the fans that are wrapped, you know, that really have their emotions wrapped around whether this basketball team wins or loses. And that is a great feeling. There is really nothing more important that when you go out into a sales call and you're talking to a corporate partner, or you know, you're talking to somebody that wants to invest, you know, some of their marketing dollars in some of the team assets. There's no better feeling than to be able to show how the fans care about the team and how they're wrapped up in what we're doing. You know, that they're spending 10 minutes per visit on Cav Fanatic, or that they're coming to Cavs.com in record numbers in July and August of 2010. So that was the story we sold. And we sold that story in 2008, in 2009, in 2010. And we're going to sell that story in 2011.
Well, that's great, because you know there is that consistency in terms of the experience that you're providing and continuing to grow off of that and evolve. It's one of these things here when you're looking at that, when you're selling the experience of the team, it's one of these things. I know this is an impossible question, and I know this may take years to sort out, but is there any kind of a sense thus far that you're getting of how you look back and you celebrate the success of the last 7 years, an Eastern Conference championship, great playoff runs in other years, ultimately not the the final destination that any of us that are Cavs fans wanted, but an unprecedented chapter for the team with bad feelings now surrounding some of the aftermath of that. Have we gotten to a point of how you can celebrate part of that and how you can leverage that and manage to leave some of the bad feelings aside?
You know, I think we celebrate our success every day, and I think we leverage where we are as an organization every day. You know, a lot of folks out there listening might be, you know, surprised to find out that we're running 94 consecutive sellouts now. Mm-hmm. We've sold out every game so far this season. We had a horrible blizzard last Wednesday night in downtown Cleveland, where, you know, inches of snow and snowdrifts surrounded the arena. And to see fans rolling in there with 5 minutes to go in the first half to enjoy the second half of basketball for our game against the Bulls was very, very gratifying. So one great question, but I say we celebrate it, you know, with the fact that we're at 94 consecutive sellouts and we're going to be at 100 before we know it. You know, I say we celebrate it on a night when, you know, most people want to be inside. They want to be, you know, it's December. They've got a million things to do. Mm-hmm. That we still had people coming into the arena with 5 minutes to go in the first half because of, you know, of how bad the snow was.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, and it just, you know, from my biased personal perspective, that's what I would like to hear. I'm glad to hear that there is still that kind of positive energy surrounding it. I'm wondering in terms of, because social media can be a great two-way street as far as feedback goes, how useful is it at a time like this when the organization is pondering, particularly in light of recent events, that the team may not be where we thought they might have been at the beginning of the season? Kyle was making fun of me previously for thinking that they might have been an eighth seed, and I thought in the very horrific Eastern Conference that was possible, and I guess it can't still be ruled out. But based on what we've seen recently, the talk of where do you go, I'm, from my biased personal perspective, I say burn it to the ground. I want to get back to the top as soon as possible. But in terms of how things are going to go, obviously you can't just go by the feedback of the fans, but that's got to be part of it as well. I know that Dan Gilbert's very plugged into what the fans think and what the fans want. How is Cav Fanatic and these other platforms, how are they playing a role in funneling to the front office just how patient the fans might be with the process to get it back on top?
You know, I want to answer a lot of the things that you brought up there. Certainly on the social media side, we want to be listening to the fans, and it's key to make your social media conversation authentic. You cannot do that without gauging fan feedback. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, one of the things that I like to do is put new promotions into our social network space. And we have a group of, there's three of us, Jeff Riznar, Jeff Littlebridge, and myself. And we really all work together as sort of a new media triumvirate to come up with some, you know, a lot of our strategies as to how we reach out to our fans. So, you know, what we want to do is we want to make sure that if you have, let's say, 12 fans all talking about Cavaliers basketball, the last thing we want to do is walk in and say, you know, get your wings from Quaker Steak and Lube. But what we want to do is we want to reach in there. We want to say, hey, I understand that you're getting your friends together to watch the game tonight. Did you know that the wings at Quaker Steak and Lube are this, this, and this? You know, that we want to list the benefits of our partners mm-hmm. within the context of their conversation so that we're not looking at every reach out that we do to a fan on social network space as a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
But to your other point, you mentioned, you know, your personal feelings about, you know, burning it to the ground. And, mm-hmm. you know, from time to time, you'll see messages like that that are left. I mean, you can't ignore them. Mm-hmm. They are on our social space. But I will tell you, you know, from firsthand account, that the talk of that is completely erroneous. I mean, and fans are going to have their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Fans are going to talk about what they think is best for the organization. And by all means, we want to listen to those opinions, and we want our fans to be heard. That's what the social space is all about.
Exactly.
But, you know, I can tell you that, you know, our the leadership in our front office addressed our employees last week, and the idea is that every, you know, our most important game is the next game. And that's not unlike what, you know, the Mike Brown, Danny Ferry group said. The most important rebound is your next one. The most mm-hmm. important possession is the next one. The most important win is the next one. And we've got to look at it from that approach, too. You know, currently the team sits at, I believe, 7-17.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm a Cleveland sports fan. So I would just go back to the 1984-85 season when the Cavaliers started out 2-19.
George Karl.
And George Karl took the team to the eighth seed in the playoffs mm-hmm. and nearly an upset of Boston in that first round of the playoffs.
Right.
So I think that, you know, we are in very, very capable hands. We are, you know, we have amazing leadership at the top of the organization. It's as I go and I sell our product, it makes me feel more and more confident with every conversation I have that what I'm doing is I'm going out there and I'm really relaying a message of confidence and one that, you know, and we do it through the social channels, a message of innovation that our fans can be very proud of.
Is there any kind of a sense on there with these two-way communications with the fans? And by the very definition of me saying my personal perspective would be burn it to the ground, that goes hand in hand with, okay, look, I know it 3, 4, 5 years, whatever. Regardless of where the fans are on that specific point, are you getting from them the notion that, look, obviously, this is going to be a while to get back to what we've become accustomed to? I mean, the eighth seed would be great and other things like that. But as far as what we were accustomed to, are you seeing right now this notion that there is the kind of patience and I would dare say realism on the part of people for what it's going to take to get back to that?
You know, I can only go to a quick social network example on that. And I certainly don't speak for anybody within our management group, but I can only cite a tweet that I saw from our owner, Dan Gilbert, mm-hmm. which you should follow on Cavs Dan.
I think I do, actually.
Twitter.com.
Yeah.
And his tweet the other day was, "Nothing clarifies like clarity." And I would only put that out there, you know, to the fans to absorb as they see fit. You know, again, there's an awful lot of confidence in that building down at Quicken Loans Arena. There's an awful lot of confidence that, you know, we need to maintain a lot of the standards that have made us great
mm-hmm.
and will certainly continue to make us great.
We had on the program a couple weeks ago leading up to a certain TNT Thursday night game, which shall remain nameless. But a gentleman from this was a site that picked up a lot of notoriety in a quick period of time, Cavs Chance, with everything that they were coordinating on the social media end as well. And I realize something of that nature, that's a little too hot for an organization to get involved with officially. That's probably once in a lifetime. I don't know that there's ever going to be that's a precedent for any other things like that. But for any possible subsequent returns, well, not possible, there will be of number six when he comes back here or anything else like that. How does the team, with its official social media apparatus and new media apparatus, interact or, in some cases, not interact with some of these spontaneous uprisings?
You know, the principal purpose of our social media challenge is, or our channels, is to communicate with our fans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an awful lot of white noise that is going to come through, and you really have to block a lot of that stuff out. Now, certainly we do want to hear feedback from our fans,
mm-hmm.
but some of the coordinated naysayers is you know, that might be a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from our standpoint, you know, we want to go out and we want to make sure that we're using these social network tools to communicate back to the fans in a very efficient manner. You know, sometimes, you know, we did what we call our tweet stakes on mm-hmm. December 2nd. But we also did one December 8th. We're also going to do some coming up later this month. And our tweet stakes is a Twitter contest where we send the fans on a sort of a a search mission throughout Quicken Loans Arena for the chance to win a prize. You know, we've done that for global brands like Nike and Toyota and McDonald's, and we've done it for some local brands. And so, you know, we have our fans engaged, highly engaged with our partner brands, you know, out there in the arena looking for our mascot or looking for the Cav Fanatic. Those things happen whether number six is in town or whether Kobe Bryant's in town or whether the Nets or Kings are here.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things we want to reach out. We want to use social media to reach out to our fans in a very, very authentic way. And know that, you know, the television and radio, they provide that mass awareness, but it's the social media that really fuels the conversation and fuels participation. And that's a very key point for how we go about our daily work.
The notion of any of these type of scavenger hunts at the arena, that's pretty interesting. I mean, it's pretty reminiscent. This was in a different sort of arena, so to speak. But Shaq, of course, likes to do those to his Twitter followers. And I a year ago at about this very time, found myself by the side of 480 scavenging for a pair of autographed tennis shoes when I saw something on his Twitter page. So this is a concept that is picking up some steam, Mike.
I got to tell you, Rick, those tweets that Shaq did last season with us, purely authentic.
Yeah.
You know, there was no staging that went on with those whatsoever. I mean, those were as authentic as it gets. And Shaq as an athlete is as authentic as it gets. So, you know, we do things now. They're not his shoes on the side of 480, and it might not be a Sports Illustrated autographed at the West Side Market.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we do things where a fan can win a $100 gift card from a local partner.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, maybe a Cavaliers prize pack to have merch with that features our new logo on it, and the new colors is part of that new logo. So, you know, we're engaging our fans on a very high basis. You know, whether we're asking them to find Moondog or find the Cav Fanatic, we're involving partner brands, and again, trying to keep it very authentic. And we want our fans to participate and see this as part of that overall experience of coming to a game. You know, certainly what takes place on the court is paramount. But all the other things that support what takes place on the court are so, so important for that overall fan experience.
Yeah, definitely. They all kind of feed into what you're looking to connect with the fans. As we come to the bottom of the hour here and look to wrap up the segment here, any other notions that people need to be aware of with what you're doing, either with Cav Fanatic, with any of the other platforms, with anything, even through Cavs.com?
You know, I can say stay tuned to our Cavs social media platforms, you know, and sign up if you're not on them. It's Facebook.com/Cavs. It's /Cavs on Twitter, or CavFanatic.com. You know, one of the things we're doing for our corporate partners is what we call like campaigns. So we have a contest going on right now where you can win a year supply of Sugardale hot dogs and floor seats for an upcoming Cavaliers game. And all you have to do is like Sugardale, and so you're going to follow them on Facebook, and then fill out just five or six questions with your name, email, and a couple of other contact points, and now you're entered to win a contest like that. So for our corporate partner, they are increasing the number of consumers that are following them through social media. You know, for us, it's a way to get our fans a once-in-a-lifetime experience sitting on the floor for a Cavaliers game and get them a whole heck of a lot of really good hot dogs, too. So we're trying to do fun things like that. And again, it's part of that overall experience of coming out to the arena and enjoying Cavaliers basketball.
Excellent. Well, again, you're really doing some tremendous work with that, Mike, and we always like to spotlight cutting-edge technology among our many other various topics here on the program. So pleasure having you on, Mike, and we look to catch up with you again as events progress and as you continue to perfect your innovations with us.
Thank you, Rick.
Appreciate it. Mike Molesky, Cavs Director of New Media Sales.